All right, good hour for you. Got an update on Hawk's car. Got a very good caller on hold. Luke Fickell joins me next segment. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. I am Jim Rome. Dear Rome, quick question. Does Hawk still do that roll the window down gesture to other drivers? Signed to in West LA. War IRA using dollies as segues. You think you found a loophole to the no bum smack rule. You can't just war things without using the phrase bum when you're setting up a guy for being homeless. As an example, war IRA using dollies as segues. That's bum smack. Bum smack is not allowed here, Drew. There is no loophole. There's no workaround. There is no bum smack. There's a moratorium on bum smack. There are things that we do not do and do not allow on this show. There is no loophole. There is no workaround. Stop doing it. There's an update. They found Hawk's car. We know where the car is. We will get into that shortly. Before then, let's go to the phones. I also want to reset Pat McAfee, who did the pod yesterday and just crushed it. I've got a reset of that in a moment, but first, let's go to the phones. We go to Rick in Buffalo. My man, Rick, how are you?
I'm still burning up, Tim, about that bald-head Aaron Boone screwing baseball fans out of a game 5 at Fenway tonight.
Pick that up, Hawk. Pick that up. I don't know if I can pick it up from here. You pick him up. Rick, I want to put you in the right spot. I'm not going to waste a phone call from you. I never know when you're going to call. I want to make sure that you are set, you're in a good spot, and you sound right. You don't sound right. You've got a problem with the call quality, not the content. I never, ever worry about Rick and Buffalo's content, but I don't want to waste that call. So Hawk is going to have a conversation with him. Rick does not know. Rick's still talking. Like, literally, Rick's in the middle of his call right now. He can't hear anything at all. Hawk's like, Rick. And another thing, Cal. Hey, Brad. Hey, Aaron Boone. He's doing his whole call. He has no idea. Hawk's like, got the receiver out like this. Rick. Hey, Aaron Boone. And another thing, the Buffalo Bills. That's amazing.
War road rage with the kids in the back seat.
My dad's a fat ass.
Not to take crap from anyone.
He's still in the middle of his call. He has no idea that he's not on the air. And how are you going to run that back? How are you going to ask a guy who calls every several weeks, who just did a whole phone call, who can't wait to drop the mic, and nobody heard it but Hawk? So I'm about to say to the guy, hey, Rick, can you run that back one more time? Can you do that call again? Because that's weird now. That's awkward. He already did the call off Broadway. And can we get him back on the phone? I don't know. But you know he's going to make the show better. Even if it's only 50% of what it would have been. 50% of Rick is better than 99.9% of the rest of you. Has he stopped his call yet, Hawk? They're finally talking now. They're having a conversation. I don't think that's ever happened. That call started like 4 minutes ago, and now they're finally having a conversation. If this were anybody other than Rick in Buffalo, do you think I would tolerate this for a minute? And you're probably thinking, come on, Rome. Nobody's bigger than the show. No one caller is bigger than the show. You wouldn't do that for anybody else. Yes, I would. I would do it for Brad. I would do it for Lef. I would do it for Rick. I would do it for the handful of people that move the needle as callers on this show. Rick is worth it. Vic, Mike and Indy, Caleb, Brad, and Rick in Buffalo. So it's not fair to say you wouldn't do that for anybody else. Meantime, I think I might move on to something else if you can't get this thing right. So if you're still not listening to the Jim Rome podcast, Now is the time that you want to start because I've got two amazing episodes lined up back to back this week and next week. Do yourself a favor. Enhance your commute. Enhance your workout. Enhance your air travel. This is what the pod is for. And also get conversations that I can't do on this show. Subscribe to this thing right now. Next week, I've got one of my favorite people ever, David Faraday. Extremely talented. Hilarious. He's on the pod. That's next week. This week, I've got the extremely talented and hilarious Pat McAfee. Now, you can look for Faraday in 6 days, but you can go crush the Pat Mac episode right now. And you should. Because when he came through on Friday and did a segment in studio, I was thinking, we got to run this guy back. He didn't have enough room in studio. This guy needs some space to run. And I'm glad we did. Because Pat got settled in quickly yesterday. And the thing that everybody loves about Pat McAfee is his honesty. The guy shoots straight. He does not hold back. And he was pretty clear about it when I asked him about his falling out with his old GM in Indianapolis, Ryan Grigson.
It got to the point where we wouldn't even look at each other, really, wouldn't talk to each other. He was like that with almost everybody on the team. He wasn't very well liked by any players, coaches, agents, basically anybody he came across. And it just got to a point where I thought he was going to extend the olive branch. And that was what I thought was happening after the Thanksgiving game against my hometown team of the Pittsburgh Steelers, where we ran a fake in the first half. We scored a touchdown. If it wasn't for that fake where I threw a ball to Eric Swope, we would have got blown out. We would have got shut out. We lost by a lot, but we would have got shut out. And I honestly thought it was the time for him to extend an olive branch and be like, hey, listen, I appreciate the work you put in. I appreciate all that stuff. I'm sorry I've been a d- about everything you've done off the field. And instead, it was the complete opposite. He like tripled, quadrupled down.
That's only part of the story. And that story gets better. And he tells it in detail. And it gets better and better and better. Not a lot of guys get called into the GM's office, stand their ground, and end up leaving the NFL on principle while they're still playing their best ball. But then again, there aren't a lot of guys like Pat McAfee. If you need more proof of that, he dropped a documentary yesterday where he goes out and he plays for a minor league baseball team. This guy had no baseball experience. He never played baseball. He literally grew up hating the game of baseball because his dad hated it. This guy never picked up a glove or a bat or a ball and then shows up in the minors for a day and film the entire thing. It's a great film, especially in that second at bat when the pitcher threw him the first Uncle Chuck he had ever seen in his life.
I'll tell you, I had no idea. I thought it was a magic trick. First of all, it looked like it was about to hit me in the face, and then it started moving, and then I thought I could hit it, and it just disappeared. I thought it really felt like John Dornbos, former long snapper of the Eagles, America's Got Talent, runner-up, magician, was out there doing some illusion. It was, I had a whole new respect for the baseball players of the world, the hitters, the pitchers. It just, at that moment, one curveball came at me, and it was just, it was really a moment of like, holy hell, the way these dudes can, chicks can hit the ball is just next level. It was quite a humbling experience, Jim.
He said he thought it was a magic trick the first time he ever saw a curveball. This is such a good documentary. It is so fun. It is so fun. That's on website, patmcafeeshow.com. Well worth the $5. And as he points out, not only do you get that, Pat was funny. He goes, I don't even care if you watch the film. Just enter the raffle. They've got the greatest raffle of all time, the Groat. So for $5, you should do that. He's great. And listen to our podcast. There's so many good stories, so many good anecdotes on that thing. Make sure you get subscribed. And if you've been feeling neglected lately, because I haven't played back any of the voicemails on this show lately, here is a taste of the batch from the Pat Mac episode.
Next message.
Got a problem right here, bro. They snuck up on me, dude. I got to go do a damn drug test. Man, I need some karma. Jungle karma, por favor. I got to take off right now and go to the clinic and take that test. So cross your fingers for me, man, or I'm going to be unemployed again, damn it. Ouch!
Message deleted. Next message.
So I took the drug test, right? So now the big thing or the bitch about this is waiting 2 to 3 days to get the result. What am I supposed to do? Go and ask him, hey, did I pass? Karma, clones, karma, damn it. Dig, bye.
Message deleted. Next message.
Jim, Lloyd in Buffalo. I got to say, Rick is as good for Buffalo as my grandpa is for his diaper. Worst look for the 716 since Todd Collins following Jim Kelly and the juice getting loose and chopping off all those heads. War Matt in Cleveland, War Christiel and Val Kilmer causing global warming with their cow farts.
Message deleted. You have no more messages.
That's why I don't play those anymore. That's why I'm trying to make that thing go away. And that's why I play them at the end of the podcast. You can listen to a quality conversation if you want to hear those. How about Fabian having to take a drug test and saying, what am I supposed to do? Call up and say, did I pass? Neep! I wonder how that went. I'm going to guess he didn't pass.
You know,
if I drink a bottle of vinegar, will I pass?
Neep!
Anyway, Pat Mack this week, David Faraday next week. Subscribe right now. It's free. Subscribe once. The podcast will find you. You will never have to look for it. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, JimRome.com. You'll be glad that you did. Do it. Quickly, Rick in Buffalo. He's ready to roll. Rick, what's going on?
Thanks for picking me up, Jim. No, I'm still burning up about that bonehead Aaron Boone screwing baseball fans out of a Game 5 at Fenway tonight. Any good manager learns from his mistakes. This idiot keeps making the same friggin' ones. And Brian Cashman's no friggin' better. What's this moron do for an encore to that idiotic A-Rod contract? He trades for that choker Stanton, who pretty much has the exact same deal. Time to clean house, sons of Steinbrenner, but you guys are too dense to figure it out. Now I realize I'm punching down here, Jim, but Stale in Vegas could use the beating. Kale's your prototypical a-hole who thinks he made it in life because he moved to Vegas. He's too stupid to realize the only people who live in Vegas are the ones who failed everywhere else. And while Vegas is a great place to visit, it's an absolute dump to live in. So keep pushing those casino brooms and mopping those casino floors, Kelvin. And you can bet your sorry existence when I make my annual trip to Vegas next spring, I'm going to hunt you down and kick your ass. And one more thing, Jim. I've had just about enough of this Tyler and Shredmonton routine. The only thing shredded about this D-bag is his smack-off credibility. This nobody couldn't crack the top 10 if there were only 9 in the field. So while you're smoking your moose meat and crapping on the big stage, I'll be crushing my chicken wings and feasting on the inferior Canadian competition. War the Goo Goo Dolls. Unwar the tragically hip. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
God, this guy's the best. Rack him. That was worth it. This is why I do that. That's why I would double back and reset and get him on the air. War the Goo Goo Dolls. Buffalo's finest. You know, the Goo Goo Dolls, when they started, they were kind of a punk band. I liked them a lot. You know, they had some smash hits and some big albums. The thing they had against them, not that they're from Buffalo, I love that they're from Buffalo, it's just one of the worst band names ever. But I like the band. Honestly, I like the band. And I really like the early stuff. Met one of the guys in the band at an airport carousel once. Great guy. Drummer. Anyway, Rick repping Buffalo hard. The only thing shredded about this guy is his smack-off reputation. And he threatened to kick Calvin's ass when he goes to Vegas for his annual trip. I got to get out. Luke Fickle joining me next. Keeping it in the state of Ohio. Good job, Rick. Well done. Do you know what that guy does for a living? Something extremely respectable. Fabian just called in and said he did pass the drug test.
Okay.
Fabian, two words. Jungle karma. Jungle karma, Fabian.
Neep.
Neep. Congrats, bro. Neep. Are they random? Do you have another one coming up? If you have a really good day at work, do they show up and say, hey, yo, urinate into this? They do that in sports. You have a good game in the NFL, they're there waiting for you. We're coming right back. Luke Fickle joins me next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, listen, we're not all in sixth grade here. Name calling's got no place on this program. That said, why is it so funny when a guy like Rick in Buffalo calls up this show and calls other callers D-bags and a-holes when there's no place for it? Like, I'm better than that. Or at least I thought I was. We continue our tour of the state of Ohio. We've talked Browns football. We've talked Bengals football. Now we talk Bearcat football. We're joined by the head football coach at the University of Cincinnati. He is in his second season with the Bearcats, the AFCA. Assistant Coach of the Year back in 2010. Cincinnati is undefeated. They're 6-0. They're number 25 in both polls. Cincinnati is at Temple on October 20th. That game is noon Eastern. Luke Fickell is my guest. Luke, good morning. Great to have you on. How are you?
Thanks, man. You guys did some homework there.
Dude, I am prepared. Luke, I am prepared. I'm happy to talk to you, too. Listen, you're coming off a win over Tulane, 37-21. You're 6-0. You are bowl eligible. You're ranked in the top 25. First things first, how are things at the University of Cincinnati for you right now?
They're good. I guess there's a buzz, and you know, we're just trying to catch up to what basketball has. And so, you know, they love athletics around here. They love their sports. The city loves football, as you see with what the Bengals are doing and having a great year so far, too. And we're just kind of jumping on board and kind of jumping with all that momentum and trying to carry it on.
All right. So it seems to me whenever somebody gets an opportunity like the one you have right there, there's going to be an opportunity to build and develop a culture, because what was happening before you probably was not working as well. In terms of building your own culture, what kind of attributes are you looking for in a winning culture?
Well, I think that, you know, the culture is such the buzzword nowadays.
Right.
You know, it is. I mean, I think the last 5 or 6 years. But it's true. It's what you really have. I think the things that are inside your locker room, the things that are inside your program, are a great reflection of what you see on Saturdays or whenever you play. And I think that's the thing that, are we a lot better team? Are we a lot better athletically in a year and a half? Did we help develop some guys and become better football players? Yeah, here and there. But I think that feeling, that pride, that sense of pride, that, you know, that brotherhood that you love about athletics and especially about football has really grown and give us an opportunity to be where we are right now.
You know, it's such a good point, Luke. It is such a buzz term. Everybody talks about culture, but like what is it? Are you looking to instill? Is it discipline? Is it will? Is it heart? Is it desire? Is it having the other guy's back? Is it all those things? I mean, what is culture?
It really is. I mean, if you came in our room, you'd see that it from the get-go, it says unit strength, so those guys bonding together. It says effort and attitude, which is 4 to 6, A to B, and then it says competitive spirit. That's the culture of what you are. But the reality is it's what you put on film. And we want to be tough. We want to be nasty. We want to be hard-nosed. Those are the things that, you know, you can recruit to, but also that you can help develop. And, you know, they all go kind of along with the ability for guys to love what it is they're doing and their teammates. And I think that's what we overlooked last year, you know, coming in here saying, hey, we got to be tough. We got to do this. When in reality, it's hard to do that on a consistent basis when guys don't know and care for one another as much as they need to.
Luke Fickell joining us. You know, to fully appreciate that, then, last year you go 4-8 in your first year, which is probably not what you were looking to do from a record standpoint. But after that year was over and you look back, were you able to see growth and improvement aside from that record? Did you get the sense that something was building here?
I don't know. I mean, I think it was more in the off season. You know, if you really look back at it, Jim, to be honest, we won 4 games and we were 3 plays away from winning 1 game. You know, a lot of people say, oh, we were 3 plays away from winning 7 games. No, we were 3 plays away from winning 1 game. And yes, there was a lot of things we had to probably go through, a lot of things we learned about each other. But I think the real growth became really in January, February, and March, when we kind of recognized the things that we were lacking. And it wasn't speed and it wasn't athleticism. It was, you know, things that come within your locker room.
Luke Fickell is my guest. You know, earlier this season, you were facing Ohio. You fall behind 21-0 in that game. You come all the way back. You win that 34-30, thanks in part to a large pick that sealed it. Is that a game that you win last year? And what's it say about your club that you're winning it this year?
Not even close. Mm-hmm. I mean, at halftime, there was not a – we were at that point 24-3, whatever it was. We were at that point a lot last year. And in that locker room, you know, you could sense it there. Oh, my goodness, I don't know what's going to happen when we go back out there. It was completely different at the halftime of the Ohio game. And we should have been ahead. We should have played better. We didn't. But you saw maturity. You saw guys step up. You saw guys, you know, handle some of that adversity in those tough situations. And they didn't bat an eye at it. And, you know, I think that has a lot to do with you won a few games. You had had some confidence. You'd built some confidence. They had built some confidence. And then they went out and proved it. So there's no way we'd have won that game last year, I can assure you.
Cincinnati 6-0, they're ranked number 25 right now. You know, Luke, in January, I had Orlando Pace on the show, and your name came up as we talked about his Ohio State days. As a defensive lineman, what was it like going up against Pace in practice?
It's not much fun. I mean, I didn't have to go against him nearly as much, so my college roommate and best friend, Mike Vrabel, who obviously is the head coach of the Titans, he was the defensive end, so he had to go up against him all the time. And I can tell you this, that I don't think he ever once beat him in a pass rush in our 3 years together with him. So the good thing about Orlando is he was such a great guy. He could embarrass me and just hold me there and chuckle, as opposed to a guy like Corey Stringer that would try to hurt you. So a great guy.
Look, so when you talk about Vrabel, knowing Vrabel the way we know Vrabel, as competitive as he is, as hard-nosed as he is, as tough as he was, the fact that he couldn't beat Pace ever, what did that do to him? How did he respond to that?
He has enough confidence. It didn't bother him too much.
Right.
I think him not being able to beat me, you know, in their wrestling matches later at night, I think is what bothered him more. So he took his lumps. I know we made him who he is and helped him get to where he is. Let's just say that.
Did he thank you for that? Because he's doing pretty damn well right now.
No, you know what? That's right. I'm going to have to call him tonight. Yeah, I don't think he's ever thanked me for that.
Yeah, right. And once you do, tell him I've been looking for him all year and I can't turn him around either. Really quick, the laws of physics are supposed to be that the low man wins. So when you got low and you tried to beat Pace, what happened?
You know what? That's exactly – I'm a science major. It's exactly what I said to my old coach. I said, Coach, we're doing a board drill. I said, you told me, and everybody tells me, the laws of physics say low man wins. He said, son, genetics overtake that. Thank you, Coach. That's all I needed.
That's great. All right, so last stop. Before you came to Cincinnati, you played, of course, at Ohio State. You were a graduate assistant there. Aside from a stint at Akron, you were at Ohio State pretty much your entire coaching career. You had great success there. It would have been a safe and comfortable place for you to stay. What attracted you to Cincinnati?
Really, I mean, you know, the 21 years, I would say, there. The 1 year that was, you know, unique and taken over in between Coach Tress and Coach Meyer, you know, you kind of had that passion to do that, and you thought you had that passion to be a head coach. And then after that 7-8 months, it was like, you know what, I don't know that I have a passion to do that. You know, and I know it was a unique situation, and it was a really tough time. And I'm not saying the game of football, I'm not saying the record, I just mean in general. So it took my passion away from, you know, running a program and trying to set your own culture and do those kinds of things. And it wasn't until, I think, the spring before I got this job. I was just found yourself, your passion changed a little bit. You find yourself reading different books. You find yourself going to places to study, and you're asking questions to the head coach more about culture and development of things, as opposed to defensively, what am I going to do to stop this, and what's a new blitz, and what's a new pressure. And I just kind of took that time to realize, you know what, my passion has changed. My passion is about going and doing this and having this opportunity to develop some things. And God bless it. And 6 months later, that this was an opportunity, and it's just been a great, great thing ever since.
Hey, Luke, last thing, what kind of books? What kind of books were you reading when your passion flipped? What kind of books were you reading? Who did you read?
You know what? I don't know that there was any. It was just about leadership. It became books about leadership as opposed to, you know, an autobiography of Brian Bosworth, or just, you know, or just you start to see those things about growth and culture, and, you know, the you know, leaders eat last. Just those type of leadership books, the John Maxwell's of the world. You're like, you know what, those things didn't interest me nearly as much before, and then all of a sudden you realize, wow, this is what's really kind of got my interest, and, you know, and that's what kind of sparked the passion to say, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I got to prepare. And I think that's the biggest change, is your ability to say, everybody can say they want to do it, but then who's going to go prepare to do it? And when I finally stepped back and went and prepared in the off season for when this opportunity was going to come, it kind of told me and myself that, hey, this is what you really want to do.
Look, I'm trying to let you go, but last thought then, how did you prepare? What did you do? Did you reinvent yourself, or did you reimagine how you saw things? What did you do?
I mean, it's putting your thoughts into paper. You know, it's actually having yourself a plan, a book to say, okay, you know, you go for an interview. This is who I am. This is what I want to do. I've thought it out. I thought about how I would hire people. I've thought about what I want to implement. I've thought about the kind of culture and the things that I want to do as a program and as a team. And you can articulate it because anybody can kind of babble it. You know, and you could say, yeah, I got these ideas, and you're driving, and you're thinking about them. But if you take the time to actually put them down on paper, it's kind of like goals. You know, everybody's got goals in their head, but if you actually take time to put them down on paper and look at them every single day, now you become more accountable to them. And I think that's, for me, what it did is the ability to not just think about it, but articulate it, put it on the paper. This is who I want to be. This is what I want to do, you know, and then it becomes yours. And then I became even more accountable to doing it and having this opportunity.
It's working. 6-0, number 25 in the polls, and Cincinnati's at Temple on October 20th. Luke Fickell, my guest. Luke, so good to have you on the show. Really appreciate the conversation. Hope you can do it again soon.
Jim, I appreciate it, man. If we keep winning.
You got it. Love to have you back, Coach. Nice job. Really nice to have you on. Luke Fickell, Bearcat fan, 6-0. They're top 25. They're at Temple on October 20th. That's a good one. The state of Ohio has been very, very good to us today in the jungle. I'm in Southern California, but we've talked Browns football. We have talked Bengals football. We talked Bearcat football. It's been a great day. When we come back, the update on Hawk's car. In case you missed hour number one, EP Adam Hawk woke up, went out to his car to go to work. The car was gone. He had no idea what happened to the car. And for a time, we didn't know what happened to the car. They found the car. That's all I know. We'll get the story when we return. Time now for a sports update. Before I kick to it, let me read you an email. Dear Jim, caught Darwin's update. Is the S in CBS for shredded? Once again, tonight on Fox, Carson Wentz and the Eagles battle Saquon Barkley and the Giants. Big divisional showdown, Thursday Night Football, Eagles-Giants tonight, 7:30 Eastern on Fox. Also live on NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video. I mentioned that Fabian had called the podcast listen line and said that he had a drug test. Submitted to the drug test. Called and was waiting to find out whether or not he passed the drug test. And then he called the show and said, I made it, I passed. Let's find out. He's actually on hold right now. I've got an update on Hawk's car, which I'll get to momentarily, but I need the update from Fabian first. Fabian, what's going on?
Hey, updates every 10 minutes, every 5 minutes. Hey, bro. Well, this is how it goes, right? So, on October the 1st, right, I had to take a drug test, right? And so I had to cross my fingers and, you know, pray for the little karma and the whole thing. Dude, I was saying, what, are you going to go ask him, hey, did I pass? You know, you can't do that, right? So he just sit back and just play it off like you're straight, you know? So today's the 11th, and I haven't heard anything. Therefore, I'm assuming I passed. You dig?
I don't know, Fabian. I don't know if that's true. Now, I don't know how that goes, but I think sometimes you have to wait longer than 10 days. No news might not be good news. You might still fail. They might not have gotten to your sample yet.
Dude, it doesn't take that long. Plus, now, see, the thing about this now, they put me behind the wheel. Now I'm driving a truck, right? So, hey, I'm just out here listening to you like that dude. I forgot homeboy's name, the trucker. Marty, I guess his name was. Yeah, and I'm out here driving the whole thing. Hey, if it would have came out positive, they would have took my ugly ass out of the truck already, dude.
So. Yeah, no, I hear
so,
you. Neep. Listen, Fabian, I don't know. I don't run the lab. I don't know how long it takes to get a drug test back. I'm just saying, and I'm not rooting against you, bro. I hope you're fine, especially if you are behind the wheel. I need you straight. I hope you pass that drug test. I'm just saying, the fact that you haven't heard does not mean that you passed it. It may, in fact, mean there's a bunch of other vials that need to be tested. Cups that need to be tested. They might not have gotten to your sample yet. I hope you're right. No news may not be good news. The only good news is I took that phone call and didn't get to Hawk yet. That's good news for Hawk. Let's find out. Pick him up, Adam. Take me through the morning. You wake up at what time in the morning?
I wake up at 4 in the morning. Yeah, 4 in the morning.
4 in the morning.
Yep.
All right, so tweet deck, have fun with that. You get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you come out to your car Lay it out for me. Like, where is your car? Sure. What happened?
Yeah, so I have an assigned spot at this community that I just moved to recently, and there were neighbors moving in. They wanted to use my spot to make the load in easy. I said, sure, no problem. So I went and put my car on the street for the night. It's not too far away. Didn't really care. And then, you know, they were done with the spot around 5 o'clock, and my wife said, hey, you can go put your car back, because she could see out the window that my spot was open. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. You know, I was comfortable. I was in my loungewear. I was done for the night. I was done doing stuff for the night. So I was like, I'll walk tomorrow.
You were done walking 5 steps outside to move your car to where it belonged?
Oh, in
fairness,
were
done with that?
It was like 50 yards. And I was,
and it was 5 o'clock at night, dude?
Yeah.
Oh, were you in your pajamas? Do you go to bed at 5:15?
No, but, you know, you do the basketball shorts and the T-shirt, and you're done for the night. You're done doing stuff for the night.
Done with what, Hawk? You couldn't walk outside with a pair of flip-flops and move that car?
I didn't want to, so I told her, it's no problem. I'll walk to it in the morning. So okay. I wake up, and I walk to where I had left it, and let it be known, I checked the signs when I parked it there, because I'd never parked it there before. There were no tow signs. There was no don't park here street cleaning signs, none of that. So I walked to my car. And
at 4:45 in the morning,
maybe? At 4:45 in the morning, and it's not there. It's gone. It's completely...
How'd that feel?
It felt horrible. Like, my stomach sank, and I'm looking around. My car's gone, and I'm walking up and down the block trying to remember, like, okay, did I really park it here? Having one of those moments.
What? Seriously, I'm not being facetious. What's the blue book value on that car? What's the street value of a Camry with 250 GER on it?
The condition that this one is in, the wipers don't work, the passenger windows don't roll down, and when you turn down the tape player, it actually turns the volume up. This is probably worth $250, maybe, for parts.
Is there air conditioning in this car?
It doesn't work.
Dude, how are you still alive? The windows do not go down, and there's no air.
Yeah, luckily I have a very, very short drive.
Okay.
So
now you have no drive.
Yeah. So anyway, I freak out. I'm looking, I'm reading the signs, and I call. I don't make any calls, except I come back and I wake my wife up at 4:45.
I was just going to say, when you woke the wife up at 4:45 and said, honey, the car's gone, what did she say?
She was not very happy. I texted her. I said, my car's either stolen or towed. And she just wrote OMG. And then I came back and she
texted her.
Well, because I was at my car, she was in the apartment. She woke up.
You guys don't go do not disturb on your phones? Who gets text?
She's got her phone on, so she handed...
She knows she's married to a moron, and she's come to expect these emails.
Right, 24/7 emergency line. So she hands me her keys, very disapproving look. I go and I drive her car to work. I see Keith, and he's like, "What's up, dude? Why are you late?" And I'm like, "Well, I can't find my car." And he's like, "You should call the cops right now, dude. That's what you do in these situations." So I called the cops and I said, "I need to report a stolen vehicle." And they said, "What's the license plate? What's the VIN?" And they took it and they said, "We'll call you back." And they just called back.
And they just called back.
Yep.
Okay, so let's just stop right there for a minute. You've lost the car. It was not in a no-tow zone. And we spent the better part of the morning trying to figure out who the hell would want a car that was 2001, 250,000 miles on it. The windows do not go down. There is no air conditioning. It's got bird crap everywhere. I mean, this is an embarrassing rig.
Yes.
But I respect that you're frugal and that you've been very resourceful and responsible with your money. So I had to respect it. But somebody ripped this car. The cops found it.
Yeah,
the
they
cops
did.
Found it.
Yep.
Was it up on blocks? Were the wheels gone? Did they want the rims? What happened? What kind of stereo do you got in that car?
It's the stock one from 2001. They hooked it up and yanked it to the yard. And they did that because they told me my tabs have been expired for a year and a half. And that's what happens when you
Hawk.
Don't pay for your tabs.
Hawk, you hadn't registered that car in a year and a half. You had no registration on that car for a year and a half.
The specifics are I had not smogged it in a year and a half, so I can't pass a smog test. And if you can't pass a smog test, you can't get new stickers. So I haven't had new stickers since the middle of 2016. And the one time that I park outside the gate where the cops could see it, they yanked it. And it's gone. It's in the yard. It's going to cost $500 to get out, but they won't let me get it until I go to the DMV and get a permission to move permit.
Man, you are dumb. You are a really dumb guy. Why did you not smog this car?
It just won't pass, and whether you pass
or
fail the test.
It won't pass, or you don't want to pay for having to do what it would take for the car to pass.
Both. I would have to, you know, kind of put a new engine in or whatever, and you have to pay for the test whether you fail or not. So I didn't want to just keep dumping money into a test that I couldn't pay for. So the whole thought process was, I'll ride this out to
Dude,
the end
I'd
of the year.
Dude, I pay you pretty well. I think you could probably pay for that.
This is not an indictment on you or this job. It is on me, because the game plan was...
100%.
Okay. So the game plan was, let's make it to the end of the year. We'll get a new car. We got another kid coming. You know, it's time to upgrade, get the small SUV. Let me just get to the end of the year. And she's been saying this whole time, please take care of this, pay your registration. You can't take this car anywhere with expired tabs. You're going to get pulled over. And we're in October. I'm 2 months away. I'm 8 weeks away from this plan working out. And now I got to go fish it out of the yard for $500 and go to the DMV.
You rolled the dice and you crapped out. So what's it going to cost? Five bills to get that piece of crap back.
And it's not even worth that.
As no, I'll bet you said, it's not. I'll bet you that car's not worth what it's going to cost you to get it out of impound, much less what's it going to cost to get it right. What are you going to have to pay to get that thing right and up to spec?
I don't know, because like a new engine's a couple $1,000, labor, all that stuff. I have no idea how it's going to pass the smog test. And as Alvin said, when I just told him they found the car, he said, you almost wish it was stolen. And I do.
Of course you do. But who would steal that car, dude?
I don't know. But
yeah, I wish I was 6 inches taller and a lot faster and a lot stronger.
Yo, I wish that car was stolen.
Right, Hawk. I'm sure you do. Dummy, you wish that car was stolen. Nobody's going to steal that car.
Yeah, so now after this, I got to go to the DMV.
You've done a lot
of
dumb things since you started here, but this might be the all-timer. And now you're going to miss work because you have to handle this. You know, I feel good about that, Hawk.
I know. I'll hang out.
I'll take care of it. I got it.
What time are you leaving, Hawk?
When the job is done.
What time are you leaving, Hawk?
Trust me, I would rather be here than the DMV.
I don't care where you'd rather be, Hawk. I know where you're going to be. What time are you leaving the building today?
12:01.
12:01. What time do you normally leave?
3:00.
Right. Good job, Hawk. Really well. Good job. Good effort, Hawk. Good job. Good effort.
Let it be known, my wife, who told me to move the car last night, is
shut up, Hawk.
Not happy.
And of course she's not happy, man. ZipRecruiter.com, Hawk. Try it for free right now. It's a great service. You need it. What a story. A year and a half with expired plates? But he had a plan. Could get to the end of the year and get a new car. Boy, Hawk, I'll give you this. I will give you this, Hawk. You've done some good things for this show. In terms of team content, between you slapping that cat on your arm. SoCal Jeff tweets, oh, man, this is great. This happened to me years ago. He won't be able to get the car out until he gets tags. He can't get tags without a smog test. He can't get a smog test without a car. So good. Circle of death. You see, Jeff, you can tweet or push content about things other than the WNBA. It's the circle of death, Hawk. Best news is we waited until the end of the program to talk about it. At Rich Mickle Bust, quote, the actual Kelly Blue Book is worth more than Hawk's car. Dear Rome, holy crap. Hawk is the biggest loser we know. I actually feel like you should keep him hired out of pity. My God. John in Huntington Beach, currently in Costco. Do they have the Costco dogs there, John?
Hey, John.
Pick one up for Hawk. He's going to need it. Wow, dude, that is some story. Imagine coming out and your car is gone. Only to you, Hawk. Tonight on Fox, Carson Wentz and the Eagles battle Saquon Barkley and the Giants. It is a fierce divisional showdown. Thursday Night Football, Eagles-Giants. Tonight, 7:30 Eastern. It's on Fox. Also live on NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video. My thanks to Hawk for going Hawk again. Luke Fickell, Dre Kirkpatrick, Denzel Ward, you clones, Rick in Buffalo, Fabian, have a great night. Let's run it back tomorrow. Big day tomorrow. Let's finish the week strong. See you then. We're out.